Hello, and welcome to Gen X, Y, and I, a conversation with three generations of positive people, featuring real world Dar, that's me, millennial Jen,
that's me,
and not so silent Bob.
I'm not going to say another thing.
We'll make you laugh, we'll make you think, and we'll always end on a happy note. In today's episode, we're going to talk about a really important question, powerful question. It is, if you could ask God a question, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Does that mean, is it guaranteed that he will answer?
That could be your question.
I ask you a question, and then God says, yep, I'll answer it. That was your one and only question, Bob. You're on your way.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask God, Bob. Hold on. He didn't answer. He's being silent like you. He's not so silent. So one of the unique things about all of us is that another commonality that we have is that we're all Christian, mm-hmm. of different
persuasions.
Persuasions of Christianity. So I am, I was not raised in the church. I developed my relationship with God and Jesus probably mid-20s. So the only time I went to church as a kid was like Easter. We were Easter Sunday churchgoers. So I didn't develop a relationship with God or, you know, to me, a real relationship with Jesus until I was well into my mid-20s. But most of my church has been experienced. Well, growing up was Baptist, but now I'm generally a non-denomination.
Well, and you're a preacher now, right? Or I don't know. How do you define yourself?
I am a ordained minister.
Okay. Very cool.
Yep.
You bet. Very
yep.
cool.
So I am. Yeah. Yeah, I did my first wedding this summer, so that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I saw pictures on Facebook.
Facebook told you. What about you, Bob? What's your persuasion?
I was born and raised Catholic, Roman Catholic. My mom basically is the one who went to church. My dad did what you were saying. Basically, he went Christmas and Easter. That was about it. You guys know that... he came from Poland, and in Poland, if you didn't go to church, everybody knew that, and it was like you were a bad person. So he, even though he came here when he was 12, he decided that when he came to this land of the free and home of the brave, that he would not go to church unless he wanted to, and it was kind of a thing for him. So he didn't, but I did, and I went through a thing that I think a lot of people have gone through. You know, in terms of my faith journey. And I mean, from basically just assuming I'm Catholic and just doing the thing without even thinking about it, and then getting to be a teenager and then a young adult in college. And I kind of fell away from it totally. I mean, I went through the whole thing, you know, atheist, agnostic, but now I'm an intellectual, so I have to be an agnostic. You know, that type of thing. And then... just by thinking and doing a lot of research and whatever, reading books, came back little by little.
Very nice. Well, I grew up a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and people call us the Mormons. And my family wasn't super active in church, but I always was. So I grew up walking to church, sometimes alone, sitting by myself on the pew. And I love church. Church is where I felt the best, and I wanted to be like people at church. So I stayed very faithful in my church. I served a mission for my church for 18 months in Taiwan, where I taught people about the gospel of Christ, and I rode a bicycle and did all the things. I was married in our church's temple, and my husband is also a member. But the older I get, the more I personally struggle with organized religion. So I am going through my own kind of faith journey now, just trying to figure out how things work. I still love the gospel. But sometimes people at church drive me crazy. I hate when people try to like push their religion on everyone. The thing I do love about this country is it is a country based on freedom of choice and religion. So I don't know. I am still Christian, but I still am an active member of my church, and I serve and I volunteer and I teach, but I'm kind of like in this exploratory phase of religion right now. So yeah.
Cool. So Jen, how did you find the church? Like if you were going by yourself as a kid, how did that happen?
I grew up in Utah, so there's a church on every corner. Oh, so you just walk to the nearest corner and there's a Mormon yep. church there in Utah. So yeah, it wasn't hard. It was just it was a big part. It was an important part for me with my family, the way it was. Church was everything to me. That's where I learned about, like, from other women in my church, how to be a mother, how to raise children, how to do all the things. Like, I feel like I learned that at church.
Very cool. All right, so who wants to go first with this question? If you could ask God a question, what would it be?
Would you like to go first, since this was your suggested topic, Dar?
Okay, Jen,
you can go.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, ahead, so I was raised that if there's a scripture in the New Testament, it's if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. So I was raised that if you ask God something in prayer, he's going to answer you. And I feel like my whole life that's been pretty true. I'll find like this answer in like a song, or a stranger will say something, I'll be like, oh, that's my answer. So I've been asking God questions my whole life. But lately there's a debate in my household between me and my husband, and it's whether or not God plays an active role in our daily lives, or if he set up a system where it all just kind of functions like independently. So anyway, I guess I would ask God how invested he is in the daily aspects of our day-to-day life. So, you know, I just be curious, because I know some people that are like, oh, this is happening because it was God's will and God is leading and guiding and directing my life. And then other people, you know, they're like, no, God just, he stays where he is. And if I ask for help, he's there. So I am curious, God, how invested you are in the details.
Wow, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I want to give answers or have a dialogue about that.
Go ahead. Well, what's your thought, Dar? What do you think? Well,
I think that he is into the details, but I also feel like, you know, there's a scripture that says that, you know, he knows our end before our beginning, like that he has a plan for us. And, you know, there's another scripture that says that he knows the number of hairs in our head. And so I do feel like that there is a plan of, you know, what he purposed for our life to do. But I also believe that there's a will, like my personal will could potentially disrupt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
God's plan.
Yeah, we call it our agency, our ability to choose, right? So we can choose how to walk through life, and whether we listen to God or not is part of that choice.
Yeah.
But I think that there's always restoration too. I feel like if, you know, if I miss it and I, you know, restore my relationship with God, that I can get back on the path and finish the course, if that makes sense.
Right. All right.
That's a powerful question, Jen. That's a good one.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, some people are like every detail, he knows it and he's part of it and he's guiding and leading me and walking me through. Mm-hmm. And then, or is it not like that? Or is it we're just walking and sometimes a little course correction is all, you know, and maybe it's not even him. Maybe it's like, I don't know, angels or ancestors. I don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good. Hey, it's a great question.
Hey, Dar, what you got?
Oh, mine is like loaded. And I said, I'm not going to think a whole lot about it. I'm just talking, then Bob and Jen to help me out.
Okay.
But I think about Bible characters like David, who continuously, it actually ties into your question a little bit, Jen, but who continuously missed it, but was considered a man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. Or Rahab, who was a prostitute, right? Like she was, but she took in these spies and God offered grace and, you know, salvation and love for her. And so my question is, I guess along the lines of, you know, these people, how we as human, we seemingly judge people based on their behavior or their external, you know, appearance and all of those things, and how God, how we can develop extending our grace as humans to be gracious like him. I think that most people struggle like that, and they look at a person's past or their history or external image, whatever that might be, and make all of these judgment calls. And I guess I want to know more about how to be gracious, how to extend grace to people, and regardless of what their history or their past or, you know, that kind of deal.
Yeah. Well, he definitely tells us in the scriptures to judge not. Mm-hmm. Look at the own rod in your eye before you're looking at your brother's beam, or I don't remember, but yeah. But it is hard, right? You know, it's funny. I find myself judging other people thinking like, oh, it's a righteous judgment, but that's not true. I don't know their heart. I don't know their intent. Yep. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know that person, their circumstances. So I try to do my best, but it is challenging, right?
But I'm glad you said heart, because that was kind of the conclusion, is that, you know, regardless of, you know, all these people, or, you know, true Bible scriptures that we see or true characters that we see in the word, whatever word or, you know, doctrine that is, that grace was extended. And I do believe he looks up upon our heart. And that's the reminder, I believe, of, you know, we can't look at a person's behavior and know their heart.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Bobo,
boy, I wish I was around when God answered both your questions, because it would really be wonderful to know those answers. I struggled with this one. It's a good topic. I don't know how much humor is in it, but it's definitely a thinking topic and something that's important. I had two questions, and I really had a hard time deciding which one I would like God to answer. One was...
Well, you only get one, Bob.
I know. But what?
One and a half.
I'm going to mention it, but I'm going to tell you which one I'm going to pick. I'm going to mention two of them, but I'm going to tell you which one I would pick. So it was either I would like to know, where will I end up in heaven? I mean, that's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. And I don't know how picky he is. You know, if he's really...
There's your question. Hey, God, how picky are you, really? Come on.
If he's really...
I mean, are we talking like real picky?
Yeah.
Is there a score? Is there...
I mean, if he's really picky, I think
I... Is there a Likert scale? Is there a Likert scale?
I'm in trouble if he's very picky. That's my problem. So anyway, that was one. And then the other question was, you know, I'm kind of coming to terms with it for myself. I don't know if I can convince anybody else, but, and I know other people have thought about this too, but I would like to ask God, what's the purpose of suffering? What's the purpose of humanity suffering? Why does that happen? Mm. And I think I've got some answers. I mean, Jesus suffered terribly. Why would a loving God want that?
Mm-hmm.
That was one. And then I decided that my self-interest is the most important, so I want to know if I'm going to heaven.
Listeners, you're getting an experience of
Bob. All right. That's great.
Wow. That's actually another really, really good question. I think that there are passages in the scripture, but... You know, I hear people talk about, you know, salvation and whether somebody may have made a heart decision, like we talked about, on their deathbed, and people judge again because of how someone lived that they probably did or didn't go to heaven, and we just don't know. We don't know their heart, and we don't know when they may have made a hard decision.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. You know. So. When my grandma passed away. My grandma was a really amazing woman. I've talked about her before on the podcast, and she was very service oriented. And, you know, she would come and go from church, and she had a gambling thing. She loved to go to Nevada, to Wendover, and spend her nickels in the machines.
I've been there.
And that's against our religion. So I was like, oh no, grandma is doomed because she's all into the gambling. And at her funeral, we had a leader in our church who said, you know, your grandma was such a great woman, and she was serving people to the very end. And one of the things we teach is enduring to the end. God just wants us to endure, to not give up, to not quit, and to keep going. And he said, and, you know, your grandma Violet, she endured, and God's accepted her into his arms. And I just lost it. I'm like, okay, good. So the gambling was overlooked. He's going to overlook the gambling because all of the service that she did makes up for it. So, you know, like, I don't know what Dar's saying is really true. Like, we can't judge, you know, the life of another person or their, you know, their actions. Because none of us are perfect, right? Not a single one of us is going to make it through this life without.
And we're not going to be doing the judging. That's for sure.
None of us are. And the other thing I have to, and I have to do this a lot, is, you know, Christians don't have the capital on being good people. Right.
Right.
And that was something I had to learn moving outside of my Utah is learn. Because I was taught like that people in my church, we're the best. Like, give us a pat on the back. We're good people. And then I left the state and went, wait a minute, that's a better person. And over there's an even better person. And that's a really good person. And they don't know Jesus, but they're like the best person I've ever met. So I always have to I try not to judge people based on, you know, anything other than the way that they, you know,
it'd really be an eye opener if and when we get to heaven to see who exactly made it.
Yeah, I always say that people are going to be surprised, like, you made it in. I'm like, yep, they made it in.
Well, and I'm horrible. I always make the joke, if heaven's anything like a Sunday church service, I don't really want to go. I'd rather we be with the sinners down in the fun one.
Wow, Jim.
If they're going to have a better time somewhere else, then that's where I want to go. So, that's horrible. All right.
Wow. Well,
that was an interesting topic. I was excited and scared all at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
there
pretty
was,
good.
You were talking with Jen about that last thing about it's better. There was a book out. It was a bestseller. It's called Proof of God, written by a cardiologist, I think. Mm-hmm. And he actually had a near-death experience. And he came back and had gone to heaven and he was talking about it. He totally changed his life. And basically, he said that what hell is, what he found out hell was, is being denied access to God, and basically just being without, and never being able to have that. So I don't know. Who knows, right? Mm. We'll see.
Yeah. I think it was Betty White that says that she doesn't fear death because her mother or grandmother always said, no, because when you die, then you know the secret. And you don't know the secret till you go. So it's like, just don't be afraid, because then you're let in.
That's right. Hey, we keep living. That's the key, is keep living and keep having a good time and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, it's about the journey, right? Not the destination.
It's about the journey. Yeah. Right. Well, thank you all for listening to us this week. And you can check us out on YouTube, Jen, X, Y, and I, on Facebook, Jen, X, Y, and I, Twitter, Instagram. You can also check out our podcast on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. If you need to contact us, you can email us at Jen, genxyandi@gmail.com. Until next time. Have a great day, morning, night, evening, whatever time you're listening to us. And we'll chat with you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.